On this very first episode of Gamer Radio Lite, we discuss the game Genie. And is it really cheating? Yes, 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 the game Genie. Before we get talking about the game Genie, let's talk about what Gamer Radio Lite is, also known as GRL.
Yes, it's going to be another podcast. We're thinking about having it for our Friday release.
Friday releases, possibly.
It's going to be just a real a shorter show than Gamer Radio. More topic based, something that we can just dig our teeth into and have a topic of the week.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when Mike and I record an episode of Gamer Radio, there's still a lot of left on the table.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat there,
And a lot of things we really can't cover. You know, with Gamer Radio, we try to give ourselves an hour. That's it. Possibly an hour and a half and move on.
And usually we're talking about a very broad subject, whether it's a series of games or
a year, possibly. There's always something, when we tackle something, it's very, like Mike said, very, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of moving parts. And sometimes we're not able to cover everything that we want to. And so Mike and I came up, we've been working on this for a couple months now, actually, where we wanted to be able to tackle topics and games that aren't either A, necessarily meant for gamer radio. In other words, a topic that may only last 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or a game that we want to talk about, but probably doesn't have the
The same appeal, maybe. Like you said, when we did the Zelda, when we had the Zelda episodes, they were very large, and it was a rarity for gamer radio to be able to talk about maybe one or two specific games in an hour and a half branch. There usually just isn't enough content on the table for those type of episodes. So these ones are going to be more center-based. Sometimes there'll be a discussion. Sometimes we'll be talking about a game that maybe people don't necessarily know too much about. And just stuff that we discover as we're doing Gamer Radio that we think, you know what, we need to touch up on this.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these you might be seeing us go back on older episodes and say, hey, we really need to cover this better.
Right.
And let's do that. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what this show is about. Anyways, Game Genie.
The Game Genie, man.
It was a staple in my home. I remember getting it and putting it in my NES and my cousin calling me a cheater.
Yeah, it was a pretty contentious thing to do when people saw you using that Game Genie.
Yeah.
You kind of lost a little bit of credibility.
It kind of did. And I saw that happen with my friends. They came over to my house and they saw me with the Game Genie. Immediately, my reputation was suddenly put on the line.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was, well, can you not beat this game without it?
Yeah, and then you're like, no, I just use it because it makes the game work better. See, look. Oh, see, it doesn't flash anymore.
Yeah, well, sometimes the Game Genie would actually help the game actually work better.
Yeah, it
because
did.
Because the pins would actually be in place. So it only meant me sticking it in, turning it on.
And it would work.
Yeah, giggity. And and the game would turn on for me. It was fantastic. But there's also times where it kind of gave an extra life. It gave my gaming catalog an extra step, an extra set of legs that may not have been there prior.
Well, you can't forget that the Game Genie just wasn't about cheating. It could do some fun things. Like, I remember messing around with Mega Man 2 and the Super Jump. I mean, you used to be able to, like, jump halfway across the screen, stay in the air and float.
Yeah.
Or a code where you wouldn't die. It was just really cool to mess with the code, which is what Game Genie did.
Oh, yeah. You were messing around with, yeah, exactly, with the code.
Mm-hmm. And it was just really an awesome experience. Even if you just messed around and put in some random letters, those letters meant something.
Yeah.
You know, like, I forget, like, I think,
like, BYA or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, if you kind of understood what the code meant, you could really start screwing around with the game and see what you can come up with that wasn't necessarily in the book.
Yeah, it would just mess around with it. You might get a desired effect. You might change the color palette of the game.
Absolutely.
You might change the musical variation of the mathematics and the code.
Yeah.
Mega Man 2 is another great example of that. You put in Game Genie, you use the code, it would scramble the music interface.
Yeah, it was great. And it really started bothering me. My friends started saying, can you beat these games without this?
Mm.
And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I can. Of course it can. Well, can you beat Ninja Turtles without it? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Of course I can beat Ninja Turtles without this. I went through the damn stage without dying. You don't think I can finish Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. No. But you did. You did lose a little bit of credibility because there was always that. I mean, we both know that we
were... It was the steroids of its time.
Mm-hmm.
This is before MLB. This was.
It sure was.
This was before Sammy Sosa and before Mark McGwire. This was the original thing that we kept looking at. You know, this was our Lance Armstrong of the time. And it came to the point where people didn't want to admit they had one, even though you knew they had a Game Genie somewhere in their house.
Yeah, because your friends aren't sitting around with you 24/7 when you're playing these games. So when you come out to them and you say, man, I beat a game like Simon's Quest, very difficult game to beat.
Yeah.
You gain some credibility, you know, and then you get tested. So at the ending stage, go like this.
I love that. What happened at the end?
Yeah, what happened at the end? So you beat it, what happened? And then you're able to tell them. And then they come over to your house and they're like, oh.
I see what you did.
You're that kid, huh?
It kind of ruins it for you a little bit because you're looking like you should beat with the Game Genie and suddenly everything's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough that for me it was like, okay, so I beat Ninja Turtles 1. Beat it, no problems, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I want to play it again. But I grabbed my Game Genie and I was like, well, let's see what I can do with the Game Genie. I was like, well, let's do it with infinite amount of health.
Mm-hmm.
See what I can do with that. And I bit myself in the butt because I got myself to the Technodrome. It was the stage right before the Technodrome. And I fell in a pit, but the pit had fire in it. And it was automatic death. But I wasn't dying.
Instead, you just
And the pit was too large for me to ever jump out of. And I just wouldn't die. So I'd restart my whole game up again.
Yeah.
And so there was those points where it would bite in the butt, you know. But the Game Genie to me is always this little thing for me that even today I look back and I have a lot of fun memories with. I remember going to Blockbuster and having my Game Genie in my hand, my little Game Genie booklet, and looking for games.
Looking for games and yet you have codes for.
Yeah.
And quite to be quite honest with the audience, if Game Genie didn't exist, I probably wouldn't have beaten a lot of games in the Nintendo era. I was young. I still wasn't as skilled as I am now. Still not even that skilled in comparison to you, buddy. So
no, don't start that crap. I saw you play Mega Man 2. Would you start that?
Man,
you're way too modest, buddy. You're like, oh, I'm not very good at games. you know, I'm okay. And then I see you go through the freaking Mega Man 2 without losing a life. But I'm okay though.
Well, you know, Wily Stager is always a conundrum for me. So, but to be honest with you. I believe that I did need it especially when I was younger. Remember, you do have 3 years on me, and that's a big deal, right? You know, coming from like the Nintendo era where I might be like 2 or 3, going, oh, I'm playing games. Like, I needed it, and yeah. It was just fun. It was just fun to mess around with, you know, whether you were getting extra life or whether you were getting a jumping ability. It was just really cool just to see what you could do with that.
I had a blast with it, and mm-hmm. It was good. I remember. Picking up Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner for the NES.
Yeah, fun game.
Picking it up, and the only reason I picked it up is because I had the booklet, and mm-hmm. I was like, why not?
It was a way for us to expand our library because it probably pointed us in some directions that we probably wouldn't have gone, you know,
games a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I picked up Fester's Quest and how bad that game is, but the only reason I did it was because I had the Game Genie with me. I mean, I was going to play it straight and be like, oh, well, I'm not going to use it. And then I started playing the game like, this game's horrible. Yeah. And I don't want to play this game anymore. Let's see what the Game Genie can do for me.
Another example of that for me would be probably Bugs Bunny's Birthday Blowout. I just hated that game. So it breathed life into games that maybe wouldn't have seen so much usage if not for the Game Genie.
Games like kids are getting the same situation. The NES was notorious for platformers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we know it as. We know it as a platforming system. Mm-hmm. And there are very few games that ever veered away from that. But it also was notorious for having a lot of bad games. And so the Game Genie made those bad games somewhat a little more legitimate.
Yeah.
It made some of those games normal.
Yeah, playable. Yeah. I agree.
I remember having a little hand. Remember we used to go up and down and you could shoot the letters off?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Where'd you pick up your Game Genie at? I picked up mine at a KB Toys. No, it wasn't KB Toys. It was, I'm trying to remember this. It's at the Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas back in the late 80s or early 90s. Like, I want to say 89, 90, okay? What now is a Foot Locker now used to be this other store. And it was a two-story mm-hmm. store. You have your upper level and you have your lower level. The lower level was all the games were at. That's where I saw my Virtual Boy for the very first time.
Wow.
That's where I saw Dracula X for the very first time. I think it was actually might have been the Sears, I think. I think it might have been a Sears. I remember taking pictures there once. And that's where I also saw Killer Instinct. I remember, like, we're taking pictures on a lower level with my mom. And it was with all my cousins. And I remember walking out. I remember seeing Killer Instinct for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the hell is this?
Black cartridge. So yeah. Stands out.
Yeah. And no, it was being played.
Oh, you saw it being played.
Yeah, I saw it being played. I remember looking down and seeing Dracula X. Well, so I was there, but I was like, are you okay? I said, I'm just bored. And he was like, well, go buy something. Oh, and I was nice. Like, oh, and you know, I didn't have that kind of a luxury to go, oh, absolutely. I'm going to buy Dracula X, $59.99? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it on my father's card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wrap it up and send it over to my home quickly.
That's funny.
So I remember looking around. I remember I saw Game Genie for, I remember it was like $39. I saw it and I was like, can I get this? And I was like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
That's awesome.
So I picked it up. It was great. And I remember taking it home and my cousin called me over. He spent the night that. To play Super Mario Bros. 3. And it was on top of my my TV, and he was like, what the hell is this?
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, it's not what it looks like, I swear.
Yeah. like
I hate this thing. Why? It's so much fun. That means you're a cheater.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. And then my friend Philip came over the next Friday to spend the night, and he was like, what the hell is this, man? I was like, oh, it's my Game Genie. He was like, oh, so you cheat in your games.
Man, well, and they were, man, these kids are brutal because they're the same kids that go home and they're playing on Game Genie 2. They're just not letting you in the house.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
they're just so brutal. But there was also that one kid that was like, oh, you got the Game Genie? He's like, did you get the codes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the one kid's like, can I borrow it?
Yeah.
Because I can't get past this one stage. I'm playing Burger Time and I can't get past.
It's like this look comes over people's face when they see it, when they're like, you're going to go one of two ways. You're going to be like, outraged.
Uh-huh.
Or they're going to be like, hey, where did you use this? What game? A Mega Man 2. Did you beat it? Yeah. Was it awesome? Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. You get the kid like on a Thursday and be like, hey. Are you going to use your Game Genie this weekend?
Yeah.
No, why? Oh, can I borrow it? Why are we going to do with it?
I got some codes.
Yeah, but there's always that one kid who's always like really greasy. He was like super greasy and super dirty. And he was like, can I borrow your Game Genie? Like, nah, I'm going to use it tonight. No, thank you.
Come on, bro, man. I want you to use it.
Or there's that one kid that you knew that was notorious for breaking stuff.
Or losing stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, no, I'm okay.
I never let people borrow any of my stuff.
That's funny. You know what? I used to as a kid, and then I let someone borrow. I think it was my Castlevania 1.
Oh.
And I was in the third grade, and they lost it. And I haven't let anybody borrow a game of mine that wasn't family since.
Yeah, man. That's tough to do, man. I didn't let anybody borrow any of my stuff. But as far as the Game Genie goes, man, is it really cheating?
Oh, yeah. Let's get really good. Is the Game Genie cheating? I would have to say. It's a mixed answer. It really depends what you're using it on.
I mean, if you're using it to beat a game for the first time, to get through the stages, you're cheating. You are. You're a cheater. You're a dirty cheater. I've been a dirty cheater. I don't have no problem in it.
Okay.
Some games I had to use, and I cheated my way through them. Oh, well, you know, that's the way that I want a game. You know, if you want to judge me and call me a cheater, that's fine, but...
I'm a 29-year-old man. You don't have to worry about you anymore.
Yeah, I'm a 29. You're just Game Genie. I don't care what you think. But I think it's a little judgmental to call somebody a cheater. It's an entertainment experience. That's why we play games. I don't expect, you know, you to game the same way I do. You're a trophy guy.
Yeah.
To me, if you're going to go back and you're going to play a game three or four times over and over and over again to get trophies, that's crazy to me. That makes me want to hit my head over, you know, into a wall on purpose.
Yeah.
To me, that's not fun. But for you, it's an achievement, and it was fun along the way, so you did it. It's just all in the way that you game.
Absolutely.
I do recommend that people should try to play games, try to beat a game first time through.
Yeah.
Without it, because you're really getting the true developer's intent in what they're trying to do. If you play Ninja Gaiden and you beat that game by yourself without any Game Genie codes... Bravo!
Yeah,
because
congratulations.
Yeah, because you're a fantastic gamer, and that's something you put in your mantle. But if I got through Ninja Gaiden because I used a couple cheats, good for me too.
Hey, at least you saw the end.
At least I saw the end. You know, I didn't have to see it on YouTube. So, I mean, it's however you perceive it.
It was a big deal though, because I remember
it was.
It was all about your integrity. Your integrity was on the line every time you said to beat a game, and the first thing it would always ask you was, What happens at the end?
Oh, yeah. What happened at the
end? Even your best friend. You used to be a dick to your best friend. Oh, my gosh. Mike Tyson's punch out. How'd it end?
Yeah. I hit Mike Tyson in the face and he fell.
What was great was that if he paused for a second, suddenly he was like, you didn't beat it. Like, yeah. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But do I really think it's cheating? Yeah, but on second token, who cares?
Who cares? It's really up to whoever's doing it. For someone like me, I always used it maybe my second or third run, but it depends on what kind of game it was. For something like Stinger on the NES, mm-hmm. I played it all the time. I didn't need a Game Genie code. For something like Mega Man 3, didn't need a Game Genie code. But let's say for a game like Ninja Gaiden, and I've already beat it once.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it. I want to go back and beat it a second time, but I just don't feel like the hassle of going, of that frustration again.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might pop in a Game Genie code.
You see, and I was always kind of a snooty gamer because I played a lot of strategy games, simulation games. And you know what? There are no Game Genie codes for those games. You can't strategize, you know, a Game Genie code. So I always felt like, well, I'm playing games that I can't cheat on anyway, so I'm better than you anyway. So I don't play dumb platformers for dumb people like you. So
you were like a PC elitist back.
I kind of was, because everybody was like, do you play these really cool games? I'm like, nah, I played Simant, dude.
Yeah. Did you play Zoop?
Yeah. Oh, man, I just played Yoshi's Island. It was great. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I just beat the German Nazi army in Operation Europe, bro. With ammo and ammo, food, and materials to spare.
I imagine that kid just sitting there with the game in his hand, like, I don't know what you just did. I don't know what that game is.
I don't know what that is. I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot. I got my face.
Yeah.
I was kind of an elitist because, like I said, it was such a niche genre that I like to play. I kind of did feel like an elitist. Now, I'm going back and I'm playing platformers. I'm like, oh, man, I missed so much.
Right, right.
But bottom line, Game Genie, I think it's a must-have for a Nintendo collection.
I think so.
I think it's awesome to have. I didn't use it for the Super Nintendo. Did you?
No.
I about to say, I did not use it for the... And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why I was okay. I was like, okay, I could cheat on these Nintendo games. But Super Nintendo, I was like, I don't need a Game Genie for Super Nintendo. I don't know
why I feel that way. I think because we became older.
You think so?
I think we got older and we understood how gaming worked. I know, for me, I got my NES... When 1989, and I got it for Christmas, and so 1990, I got my Genesis. So I'm about 5 or 6 years old,
yeah,
give or take. And so for me, like, gaming to me was still hard for me to do. I don't know how the hell I beat games like Mega Man 3 at 5,
mm-hmm.
but I did it.
That's incredible.
Or I don't know how I beat Castlevania 3 at the age of 6, mm-hmm. but I did it. But when, you know, the Super Nintendo was released, I was 6, going to 7, 8, 9 years old, and mm-hmm. and the SNES grew up with me in that way. And by then, I had a better grasp of what gaming was, and development became better, games became better.
Yeah,
and
know,
so suddenly, those broken games were now a much more solid experience, and I didn't need that as a crutch.
You know, I think you're nailing it on the head, man, because I go back and I play Nintendo games even now. Some of them, even great games like Ninja Gaiden, sometimes the screen gets so flickery. And sometimes the game, like, it looks like a mashup and you really can't see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you get lost and you got so many things coming at you. And maybe a victim of bad game design sometimes. Sometimes these games are just unbeatable. And you go to Super Nintendo, the games are difficult on the Super Nintendo, but games aren't impossible. Like... I really feel sometimes that the Nintendo throws impossible experiences at you. I really marvel at people that beat these games. But sometimes I feel like, how am I supposed to get past this?
Right. Like, well, there are games like you think, like you and I played recently, Mighty Bomb Jack.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun game, but I had no idea what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, because there's no direction. Yeah.
There's no direction. It literally drops you in. And you even got like Mylon's Castle.
Yeah.
It's a game like that. Kind of drops you in and go, figure it out. And to some degree, that's great. But a game like Mighty Bomb Jack might need a Game Genie code, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But a game like Super Mario Bros. 3 won't need it. Unless you are piss poor at games.
Yeah, about to say, because I didn't even use the Game Genie for Super Mario Bros.
Right.
3.
But then when we get to something like, when we get to the SNES now, the game changes a bit now. The quality has become better. Game developers kind of understand the platform. They understand how to make better games. And so because of that... the glitches or the slow frame rates are happen less frequent.
Yeah, and you talk about the greatest platformer of all time, as far as me and you are concerned. We talk about Yoshi's Island, Super Mario World 2.
Uh-huh.
And it is the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest platformer ever made. There's no reason for a Game Genie there. It just doesn't call for it.
Right.
And that game isn't easy. The game isn't, you know, I don't think anybody could pick that game up and beat it handedly.
Right.
But the design is so good that if you've gamed before or you're a decent gamer, you just get it and you don't need a Game Genie.
Right. So really, Game Genie, the way it did, it kind of evolved to being there for really crappy games like Home Improvement, like Cool Spot, and kind of that's where the Game Genie kind of went to. And then later on, we get iterations of Game Shark, which happens for the PS1 and
Pro Action Replay.
Yeah, and that's what we have now is the Action Replay now. But the Game Genie of the Super Nintendo, it wasn't even necessary anymore because gaming got better, and so it wasn't necessary unless you had. So unless, you know, your grandmother or your aunt or your parents really hated you and they decided to give you a bad game.
Yeah, yeah. Or like I said, I guess if you were super young, maybe it was beneficial to you on the Super Nintendo, but the Super Nintendo in all of its glory and awesomeness just didn't require the Game Genie like the original Nintendo did.
Right. And again, the industry was maturing, so we didn't need it. I think that's it.
That's great for an inaugural episode.
It is. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed myself. Thank you for coming, Mike.
No, I'm happy to be here.
I hope we have you next episode. Well, that's it for us. I hope you enjoyed the first ever episode of GRL, Gamer Radio Lite. And we will see you guys next time. Oh, wait. Don't forget. You can find us on Twitter. At @AB_SelectStart. Just start looking us up there. That's where a lot of the action happens, where I write a lot on Twitter. Email us at gamer.radio@hotmail.com, gamer.radio@hotmail.com. Find us there. Email us with your questions, or you can do that even on Twitter if you want to.
We really like some feedback about this.
Yeah, if you guys like this, we'll keep doing it. If not, we'll keep doing it anyways. Suck it.
Yeah.
Also, if you have your own ideas, your own topics you want us to discuss, let us know. We'll totally get down with that.
Mail them in.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. The website right now is kind of on hiatus. Mike and I are trying to retool a lot of things. Things aren't working the way we think it should, so we're going to try to retool that.
Yeah, we got some work to do.
Yes, yes. Mike and I have some pretty cool ideas ahead, and hopefully we can get some of our good friends on board, and they'll start doing it with us pretty soon. Eddie has some stuff he's going to be working on, possibly. I know he's going to do one where he's going to dress up like an immigrant and see if he can get deported back to Mexico. And see if he can, he's going to do that and see if he can come back without being affected.
Really?
So, no, I'm kidding.
That was an idea I didn't get spitballed out. Wow.
So, yeah, website, hopefully we'll get that rebooted up. If not, hey, you can find us on iTunes under AB Select Start, Podomatic under AB Select Start, and Stitcher under AB Select Start. Leave us some likes, leave us a review. It really helps us out in stats. Give us some 5 stars. It'd be amazing. And that will be it for this episode. And we will see you guys next time.
Take it easy. Eat your soup. Ever heard that song before?
No.
It's called The Greatest Song in the World by Jack Black.
How's it go?
He goes, play the best song in the world. Or I'll eat your soul.
Ha